You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
One of the most internationally famous New Zealand Prime Ministers leaving office, many are discussing her legacy, particularly her legacy overseas. Jeffrey Miller, international analyst for the Democracy Project, wrote about Ardern's outsized foreign policy legacy, which I had a chat with him about today. I began by asking him to outline some of the highlights of Ardern's legacy.
Well, I think the biggest single highlight was Jacinda Ardern's compassionate response to the Christchurch mosque attacks in 2019. That really propelled her on the world stage. But more importantly, I think it got New Zealand out of what could have been a very dangerous, sticky situation. There was a great fear of reprisal attacks in those immediate hours after those terrible mosque attacks in Christchurch, in which 51 Muslims died. So, the fact that didn't happen, I think a good portion of that credit needs to come back to Jacinda Ardern, and she really pulled out all the stops there. So I think that will go down perhaps as the biggest single achievement. But then she did use that outsized reputation that she built from those Christchurch mosque attacks to continue her efforts. And then the Christchurch Call Initiative was probably the biggest single outcome of that she led with the French President Emmanuel Macron. And if you recall, this was all about removing violent extremist terrorist material from the internet. And of course, that's a hard thing to do. But she did get an enormous amount of buy-in. There's now 120 signatories for that initiative, for that campaign, including a lot of countries who you wouldn't normally think would agree to be on a list together, and a lot of tech companies as well. So I think it's been reasonably successful. It's been, obviously it's a small, relatively small thing. It's a small target that you're aiming for, to remove terrorist material from the internet. But I think it's something on which, she could gain a consensus amongst all kinds of different groups. And I think in the end, that's what Jacinda Ardern was about, in foreign policy terms. It was all about consensus, getting people around a table. And she did achieve that with the Christchurch call. Also, when New Zealand hosted the APEC summit, she called a special virtual summit that included Xi Jinping, Joe Biden, Vladimir Putin all around the same virtual table at least. Wasn't an easy thing to do back in July 2020. With all the geopolitical tensions that were building. No, it didn't solve anything in the end. When you look back, things got worse after that, and Russia invaded Ukraine. Tensions got worse with China, between the West and China. But I think she certainly tried, and I think we probably need more of that kind of diplomacy, that outreach, that dialogue, and consensus-driven approach that Jacinda Ardern took.
With Jacinda Ardern being, I guess, first true social media leaders and politicians, at least in terms of image, do you think this has impacted her high perception overseas, particularly among foreign liberal populations and that sort of thing? Is this a part of it, or is it really her, compassion and that sort of thing that has played into this image?
I think Jacinda Ardern was the right leader at the right time, really. And, just in the end, the events that came her way, the Christchurch mosque attacks, COVID-19, the volcanic eruptions on White Island, all of this sort of played to her strengths with crisis management. And then, of course, social media showed all these images of her responding to these tragedies, wearing the headscarf after the mosque attacks, the stand-ups and the Beehive Theatreette for COVID-19, just the empathy that she constantly showed, the compassion she showed with victims of various tragedies that happened during her premiership. And yes, these went viral on social media around the world and were seized upon, I think, by the left, who are looking for an anti-Trump, if you like. Jacinda Ardern became New Zealand's Prime Minister in the same year that Donald Trump became US President, back in 2017. And I think that Jacinda Ardern in many ways did become that anti-Trump figure to look on to lock on to for the liberal left around the world, who wanted something to hope for, and they projected onto Jacinda Ardern, I think, what they wanted to see. And they were not interested so much in what was going on in New Zealand domestically, so they missed a lot of the criticism perhaps that the government has faced for the last few years. I mean, the government now is a lot less popular than it was in the low 30s, from 50% when they won the election back in 2020. So, this government has become less popular, and Jacinda Ardern has been the face of that. But internationally, that, you know, people don't really pick up on that. They're still, you know, very much in the 2019, 2020 mode where Jacinda Ardern is something of a saint, I guess, for them. And, you know, that's all been channeled through social media, yeah.
With a change in Labour leadership, what kinds of foreign policy shifts might we expect to see under Hipkins, if any?
I think we're going to see a lot of continuity. Chris Hipkins doesn't have a lot of foreign policy experience himself. He did travel when he was education minister. He did go to China back in 2018, for example. He went to Latin America last year to promote this reopening of New Zealand after COVID-19. He went to Brazil and Chile, for example. So he has some experience of travelling as a minister. But, you know, it's election year here in New Zealand, so he's not really going to be looking to remake New Zealand foreign policy, and he doesn't really need to because a lot of the groundwork has been done already by Jacinda Ardern. So the last 6 months or so, Jacinda Ardern's been a bit softer towards China. We went very hawkish in the first half of 2022 as, you know, when Russia invaded Ukraine, New Zealand was sort of forced onto the Western side. The last 6 months, she's recalibrated somewhat and talked, you know, more generously towards China, talked up New Zealand's independent foreign policy, talked up, you know, cooperation with China, dialogue and diplomacy with China. She said that, you know, the war in Ukraine wasn't a contest between democracy and autocracy, which is exactly what Joe Biden has said it is, and really as a way of making it something broader that, you know, by implication includes, a battle with China, if you like, a contest with China as one of these authoritarian states. So I think he will continue all of that. He said that he will make travelling to China a priority, a high priority. He says it's incredibly important economically in China. So he will carry out the trip that Jacinda Ardern promised to make. She had talked in the last few months of 2022 about making a trade-focused mission to China, and in the early part of this year, well, she won't be leading that now. Instead, it will be Chris Hipkins who will be travelling to China and leading that. But he will be doing it, and that, I think that's a significant point, though, of the very limited information we have so far. That's what he said in his press conference, that he will be travelling to China soon. But beyond that, you know, he will go to the United Kingdom in May for the Queen's coronation, and no doubt there will be some other business fit in around that. You know, we can expect a trip to Australia because that's just the normal thing that New Zealand Prime Ministers do when they're elected. So there will be some form of trip to Australia in the coming month or so, I would think. Beyond that, I don't think that foreign policy is going to be a huge focus. He said, Chris Hipkins, that he's focused on bread and butter issues, and I think for most voters that means domestic issues, even though foreign policy has a huge impact on our economic well-being, you know, given all our trade that we do. You know, a third of our exports go to China every year. That's why China is so important. So it is important economically. At the same time, I think most voters will be expecting Chris Hipkins to be, you know, have his head down and working on, you know, all these economic headwinds that we're facing, the high inflation and the probable recession that we're going to be seeing this year in the run-up to the election on October the 14th.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.